Okay, we are plugged in and ready to rumble now. It's Sunday the 17th of November 2019. Time is flying by. You're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Adam. And really everything is up on my website now, krazfiles.com. So much, everything that I'm doing is connected now through that website and secure, so check that out. Thanks so much for the members who are plugging in over on the website. It really helps me to continue doing this. It's got harder over the years, so much appreciated your help over there. And I hope you're enjoying the website and the members area and everything like that. You can contact me as usual through there as well. So everything's up there. For those out there who hear these podcasts via the RSS feed or the podcasting websites or perhaps over on YouTube as well, you can become a member on the website. Just a cup of coffee a month and all been made secure. So we've done a lot of work over there for the members, and really helps me to continue and keep the website up and running. It isn't cheap. Just keep everything going, keep myself going as we go into 2020. A lot of changes coming, and we are doing real brass knuckles alternative Australian media here in Sydney, Australia. So as I said, it's getting harder for real alternative media. There's certain information that gets us under the hammer a little bit, so we continue forward without any fear, and we just keep moving forward and connecting with wonderful people like my guest today, Dana Churchill. Now, Dana's plugging in with me all the way over in Canada. You are, Dana, and I've got a little bio here for you, just for the guest, because I haven't had you on the podcast before, and you have an incredible case, so we're going to go over that today. Something I've been following myself here for so many years now. But Dr. Dana Churchill is an international speaker, author, and innovator of women's health and wellness. She's remembered for her ability to deeply connect with audiences through clarity, wisdom, and humor. With a humble confidence, she draws on a wealth of real-life experiences to help you envision and achieve your best in a way that is both entertaining and informative. As a holistic health provider and mother, she helps women unleash their power by loving themselves and embracing the feminine. Dr. Dana combines the ageless wisdom of mind, body, spirit, and balance, integrating her studies in psychology, biology, nutrition, neurology, chiropractic, and spirituality to provide you with fresh ideas in healing and transformation. She has recently retired from a 22-year-old career in chiropractic, having outgrown her muscle, and is using her voice now as a legislative influencer of health policy. And then you talk about your yoga practices and all of this here, and I will put this up in the link in the description as well, and all your contact, Dana, but I'll bring you in now. You're a busy lady. Great to speak with you. And I'm just reading some of this stuff, yoga and chiropractic studies and spirituality and nutrition. That's evil, Dana. You can't do that in modern era. That's absolutely plain evil. We can't have that.
Well, thank you, Adam, for having me on the show. You know, I'm honored to be here. And it's so important, I think, for alternative media to, you know, in this day, to help kind of expose that darkness, and all the wonderful people you've had on the show and the articles. I just think it's an amazing work you're doing. But, you know, here it's November 16th. So it's kind of strange, right? Here we are in real time, but we're on different dates. So that's kind of strange, because I'm in Canada, of course, Nova Scotia. But thank you.
That's right. Yeah, I know. When you go overseas, you come back, you miss a day. So, I think New Zealand are even further ahead of Australia. So it's, we're ahead. But always good. You're the, I don't know. It's been so many podcasts I've done over the years. I don't know if I've had any guests from Canada. I was talking to Alan Watt. He's over in Canada. He does Cutting Through the Matrix, if anyone wants great information from Alan Watt. Still doing it all these years. He's over in Canada. I don't know where he is, but cuttingthroughthematrix.com is a great website, and he really breaks down the system around us like we love to do here. Dana, why don't we get to know you a little bit? Tell us about yourself a little bit more, and then we'll lead into what has happened to you recently in regards to your chiropractic work. We just used a chiropractor last week, actually only a few days ago. So it's this is an incredible, remarkable story that people need to hear what's going on here. So lead us into that.
So I'm a mother, and I grew up in Newfoundland, in a little fishing village called Portugal Cove. And then I went to chiropractic college, did my Bachelor of Science at Memorial University in Newfoundland, and then went to chiropractic college in Toronto, in Ontario. And then came back to Nova Scotia, met my husband, and had a few kids. So, as a chiropractor, we're understanding it's a drugless profession, but we're believing in the body's natural ability to heal itself. So, the whole idea of vaccines and chemicals wasn't really something we studied, but it's more of a philosophy of natural holistic health. But when we had our first child, I start studying, vaccines, and had bought all the information that I'd gathered into my medical doctor at the time and said, look, if I listen to what I've read and all these studies and books and research I've gathered, we can't really vaccinate because there's no health or safety studies, and there's all these side effects. Unintended consequences. And I said, if you could look at this and kind of debate this with me, I would really appreciate it. And she pushed the books across the desk and she said, Dina, if I go there and admit that there's some dangers in vaccines, it would be me admitting that what I'm doing to kids every day is harmful and I can't go there. So I was really grateful for that response, Adam, because she didn't call me, an anti-vaxxer. She didn't call me an irresponsible parent. She wasn't degrading me in any way. She just said she couldn't go there. So I picked up my books, and we never had that conversation after. So my oldest now is 22, and my youngest is 18, and they've never been vaccinated. But it really planted that seed that, okay, I'm onto something. She doesn't really want to debate me on this subject. So as I continued in my practice, I continued to research, and then I posed the same safety questions over a period of time to the Department of Health, the College of Physicians and Surgeons, the provincial health minister, the federal health minister, and eventually to Justin Trudeau, because I was starting to see effects of vaccines in my chiropractic practice. Now, again, vaccines are outside the scope of my practice, but as a chiropractor, we're expected to use neurology for assessment and diagnosis and plan of management. So I would see a baby for a assessment, and all the neurological signs and symptoms are fine. And then, the next time I would see them, and the only thing different has been a series of vaccines, they would start having neurological signs. So I felt really torn because, as a chiropractor, I wasn't allowed to sort of comment on vaccines. But as a mother and a woman, I felt the need to be able to share this information with patients. So I took it upon myself as an individual, not as a chiropractor, to research and to question the authorities. And I really think that's what set the stage for what happened, was that I was aggressively seeking answers, let's say. So then last year, May of last year, there was a directive that came from our health department, to all chiropractors, to remove any posts on our social media or websites that contain the word vaccines. So because it was outside the scope of our practice, we weren't allowed to share any research, any studies, and or we would be reprimanded. So I did remove any vaccine-related posts on my professional page, my Oxford Chiropractic page. But I didn't remove my personal blog and articles that I'd written, or my Facebook page, or my Twitter feed. And ultimately, that was the problem, is that they felt my own personal views could be influential. And as a chiropractor, I was to really hold those views, private and not give any public information. So they, it was a long process, kind of over a 6 month period where there were legal letters back and forth. And I had seen a lawyer and said, this is free speech. I can, as a regulatory body, I can understand how they would want to regulate my own individual practice, but these are my own personal views. And I really don't want to bend on that. I felt it was a conflict of our Charter of Rights and Freedoms in expression and free speech. So I was ready to take it to the Supreme Court of Canada and mobilize all my resources. And then they suspended my license and basically kept me going through a loop of different tests and exams and fees that exhausted my resources. And eventually I just surrendered my license after Christmas last year. My mom had cancer and there were a whole bunch of other things, but really my spirit was tired and my resources exhausted from fighting this big establishment, which would have been the Nova Scotia Health Department and my own chiropractic association that, I love dearly. So I just thought, in order to have this voice, I can't wear a regulated hat. So even though I loved my practice dearly, 22 years of family practice, it was a practice that was in my home, so I was very connected to patients. Again, I just felt this message about vaccines and vaccine dangers was worth making that sacrifice.
Yeah. Yeah, incredible case. You sent me the articles as well. One here from CBC News, I guess. Former chiropractor ordered to pay $100,000 related to an anti-vaccine post. So you were just discussing that. So it says here, former Halifax-based chiropractor has been ordered to pay her regulator $100,000 as part of a settlement agreement on charges of professional misconduct related to her sharing anti-vaccination views online. What happens here now with this this amount of money and everything? That how do you deal with this?
So, because I just had a conversation actually with my lawyer this week. Because I've surrendered my license, they can no longer regulate me. So that fine, they can require me to pay, but I really don't have to pay it legally. I don't have a responsibility unless I want to go back to the profession. So it sits there right now with me not having to pay because I've surrendered my license. But if I'd kept my license, of course, they would have kept me on the hook. You know, at one point, they sent me a 317-page document that was double-sided of all the posts that I'd done, like over a period of a couple of months, everything from broccoli and cancer to, things on vaccines. And it was just unbelievable. So they were paying a team of lawyers to investigate me and every post that I did. So it was, I wasn't negotiating. I wanted to keep my freedom of speech and my voice. So the only way I could do that and not be charged for it was really to surrender my license.
Boy, it's like getting in trouble in another country and then going back to your country. If you go back to the country you got in trouble in, you'll be locked up. It's just crazy, isn't it? It's talking here about, as you mentioned, the college launching an investigation a year back, maybe even further, but it says here a year ago after its register filed a complaint regarding you and these posts on social media, I'm guessing Facebook, about topics outside her scope of practice, most notably, it says here, on vaccines. Do you have any indication as to where this started, how they knew about you posting? Did someone say something, maybe a patient or anyone say anything to set that all off?
Yeah, so there were no complaints from patients. Mm. There were no complaints from colleagues. You know, there's five pediatricians in our little town, little city, that were patients as well. The complaints apparently came from people that I didn't know that weren't connected to the practice. And once one complaint came in and there was publicity, then there were all sorts of different complaints. It was like I was on a target board for other things. I'd written an article on sexual abuse, and there was somebody that complained about that. And then there was somebody complained about the vaccine. And then there was another complaint about Brussels sprouts, you know, helping with certain cancers. And was that really, you know, in my scope of practice? So once I was out there in the media as an anti-vaxxer, complaints then came from all sorts of different sources. But they weren't sources that were connected to my practice or to my colleagues. But as a regulated profession, we're expected to, you know, regulate ourselves. So I was a member of our chiropractic board that protects the public. And I know if there's anyone that puts in a complaint, then it's up to our regulatory body, our chiropractic board, to create a hearing committee that investigates. So regardless of how many complaints came in or who they came from, it was still they did their due diligence in investigating it.
Mm. Seems like you got done by trolls there, if I were to guess. Absolutely. The word's got out, and then they've tried to rip your life apart and go through all your posts, and that's what they do, go through everything. And then it's gone from there. We have the same thing happening in Australia, exact same thing. So it's really incredible. It's probably, maybe they network over there. We've got a whole bunches of them here. If I'm looking on here on DuckDuckGo, for example, if I'm looking at Australian nurses, chiropractors, midwives, material sharing anti-vax stuff, you get a whole bunch of things. One of the fourth ones is from a person called website called Reasonable Hank. This man, Peter Tini, I think I gather that's his name. This is a spineless, gutless, pathetic toilet bug that has a website well, it's not even a toilet bug. I just insulted toilet bugs. I don't know what these people are. They're just, they go on social media. They're part of this group Seven in Australia. And they work through all these groups online and everywhere, and there really is such a huge attack on chiropractors, on homeopathy, on naturopaths, on all of this, anything that's good and wholesome and natural, they want gone, you know. So your only choice will be big pharmaceutical drugs and their vaccines and going to a doctor and taking their antibiotics and all of this stuff. So these trolls have a very, very broad ranging, very big network in Australia, and God knows where they are, and God knows who they are, and God knows who's really paying them. There's the Friends in Science and Medicine, there's the Australian Skeptics and all of this. They're all interconnected. They've got friends in the media, in the Rupert Murdoch media. They share information, they dob people in into the newspapers, and then they expose them there. They seem to be interconnected or intertwined with the government and all of this. There's all these spooks and weird things going on here. We have doctors losing their license in Australia. One in Victoria having their practices raided with these police and spooks coming in and taking confidential patient records and stuff like this, and they're trying to scare the hell out of everyone from saying anything. But it's just getting bigger and bigger, and it's getting overwhelming. We'll find out about what's happening in Canada, but here in Australia, we've got the vaxxed movies and all of this. We've just got this huge swell of information that we're getting out and others are getting out and we're sharing. We just haven't had that ability before. You're probably the same in Canada. We didn't have a big alternative media presence here. And just in the last couple of years, even in Australia, it's just been really incredible. And people are seeing direct damage through pharmaceutical drugs and things like vaccines as well on children, and they want choice. And I have heard that there are a lot. I actually know some. I can't go into it too much, but I do know some chiropractors, and I do know some homeopaths who have clinics who are involved as well in all this and tell me what's happening and all of this. So, but we do have heavenly doctors who want to come out and say something because they don't agree with what's happening in this country and this witch hunt that's going on. And they do believe in a patient freedom of choice, because this is to do with their health. They think that's an important issue, but they can't even say that. They can't say anything. And so it's a real war, and this has been going on for years. I had one article here from The Guardian. It was Australian nurses who spread anti-vaccination messages face prosecution now as well, and this is to do with social media. So nurses and midwives who ignore scientific evidence. Where's the scientific evidence? There isn't any. You're not doing what you're told. It says here, by promoting anti-vaccination to patients and the public, are being cracked down on in a tough new position statement from their industry regulator. It's saying here the Nursing and Midwifery Board of Australia released the vaccination standards in response to what it described as a small number of nurses and midwives promoting anti-vaccination via social media. So this is what gets them in trouble there. In their normal lives, they might be have a social media pages, and they're talking about or sharing information related to vaccines or vaccine safety. And as I said, this troll army that are in all the big anti-vaccination groups and all the small anti-vaccination groups, I don't trust a lot of them, sorry. They're in there, and they find out these people's names and who they are, and they dob them in, and they have websites, and they put their names up there, and they do articles, and they spread it everywhere, just like they did to you. Mm-hmm. So really incredible. This is the same. We're really mirroring. We're getting this in California and a lot of places, but what's happened to you in Canada really is mirroring what is happening here in Australia. You were directly threatened there.
But you know what I've discovered, Adam, in this whole process is more of that medical industrial complex that really has a grip, you know, on our media and on our government. So CBC, for example, is the Canadian Broadcasting Company. It's like the biggest broadcasting company. They have TV and radio, and they were the people that put out the most publicity. But I had approached them years ago with different articles on deaths of all the holistic doctors, for example. And I said, this would be a great news story. Sent them, you know, all the references. And one of the reporters who I knew, kind of off the record, had said, Dina, you know, we don't publish a story unless it's been approved by Snopes. Right. And Snopes is, as you probably know, right, the husband and wife team on the Monsanto payroll. So I thought, here we have the Canadian Broadcasting Company under the control of Snopes, a husband and wife team that gets to say what they publish and what they don't. So right away, I could see there's no way that they're going to publish information on genetically modified foods, chemicals and vaccines, because they're biggest supporter, I don't know if they're owned or, let's say, heavily influenced and perhaps donated, having monies donated from the larger corporations. And then even with government, I don't know if I sent you that article, but I met with an MLA just recently here in Nova Scotia, and I had a wonderful meeting. You know, we shared some research, I did a little presentation, and he had posted on his Twitter feed that he'd met with, you know, Dr. Dina Churchill, and was informed on some of the issues around mandatory vaccines, and he was just slaughtered. And then he had to retract what he said because his views weren't in line with the political party views. So you can really see how this, you know, medical industrial complex puts a chokehold on all the avenues that we'd use for free speech and to counter something like this. So it's crazy. And New Brunswick is like the sister province to Nova Scotia, so it's the next one over. They just proposed Bill 39 that was to remove non-medical exemptions. This was put forward by the education minister, Dominic Carty. Now, even though the chief medical officer of that province feels that these mandatory vaccines probably wouldn't prevent the outbreak and didn't have any details to share on the outbreak that was there. For example, if the outbreak came from the vaccine strand of the virus or if it was the natural measles virus. So the health minister, the education minister, seems to be trumping the opinion of the health of the chief medical officer. So I'm thinking, like, what's that? We have this education minister that now has, you know, a science degree and can, you know, mandate these injectables to all our school age kids. I mean, it's just crazy. And then just a month ago, they proposed a similar bill here in Nova Scotia, and this bill is 210, that was put forward by a progressive conservative leader, you know, of the minority government, announcing the same thing, that they wanted to remove non-medical exemptions. So it's all over. But the individual voice of the politician is squeezed and silenced and controlled in the same way that they have the chokehold and muzzle on doctors from speaking the truth. So, and it's not just chiropractors and holistic doctors. There was a pediatrician who just had a practice up the street from me who decided he was going to split up the vaccines because he was seeing injuries, I'm sure, in his practice and wanted to spread them out over time. He too lost his license, you know, and he's a pediatrician. So it's anyone that, you know, bucks the system and can challenge that schedule is, who's reprimanded and punished, not just in their professional practices, but also then on the media.
Yeah. Yeah, I know the media are experts here. Absolute experts. I called it the GovFar media. And you're right there. Yeah, it is. It's a it's a whole connection, isn't it? It's a government, media, pharmaceutical industry, military. You know, it's all this kind of web and industrial complex, as we call it. They're all intertwined together. They all protect each other, you know. We've just done. There's been such incredible work done in Australia through alternative media and through a lot of people studying, looking at, government and even our former Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull. He had direct shares in the pharmaceutical industry himself, with his wife involved in the pharmaceutical industry, creating new vaccines for GlaxoSmithKline. We exposed all of this. It went all over the world. We look at people writing articles who are tied up, many tied up with Rupert Murdoch's Children's Institute and all of this. Rupert Murdoch himself being up to his eyeballs with the pharmaceutical companies and all of this. It's like we've just been doing this for years. It seems like everybody who's these people are like drug pharmaceutical, reps on steroids in this country. They seem to be spokespeople for the companies themselves, even the columnists for the newspapers. And we've talked so much about this that they've turned the term anti-vaxxer now is they've just turned it into this weapon. And so they just put that in their headings of their newspapers, and that's supposed to make people's minds up. They just read anti-vaxxer and they don't need to read the article anymore. That's how bad it's got, you know. They just put it in the header there, and then you read the articles, you're like, this is just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, these people can't write articles. It's nonsense. There's no links in there. There's no credible information whatsoever. You try to talk to them, they block you. They act like trolls, these columnists for the newspapers here. They're uneducated. They know nothing. Our health ministers have no background in health. They're just pushing this hard line. And wherever you look, they're all interconnected with the pharmaceutical companies themselves. And it's just, it's unbelievable. And I don't know what else we can do but just keep getting the information out and sharing it, because as I said before, it is an information war now, and we have access to what we're doing now, for example, talking, and we can just get so much information out to people so quickly. And it's the fence sitters and families out there who get this information and are able to digest it and make a decision for themselves on what they want to do. If we're looking at vaccines and having children, it's so important. But it's as we get towards 2020, Dana, it's getting more serious, and I'm wondering where this is going to go. I'll ask you about Canada. I just got a newsletter here through from Jeremy R. Hammond, who I spoke to. He's a fantastic writer, and he talks here about the right to informed consent. He's in the US. It's one of the most fundamental ethics in medicine, and that is so true. Yet when it comes to one particular pharmaceutical product, the governments of the world and medical establishments are increasingly insistent on violating this right. So he's talking here about, of course, about the practice of vaccination. Increasingly, people are not being given any choice about whether to vaccinate. So there's a sustained effort here in the US to eliminate non-medical exemptions. In California, they are going even further, of course, and essentially eliminating even medical exemptions by regulating relegating the role of doctors. So there you go, to that of fulfilling an administrative function to the state. And he's talking here, this is new information about his home state of Michigan. He's just learned of a bill that would charge, that would change the law to require doctors to give all newborns the vitamin K shot in violation of human rights again. And so he's saying here as well, things are getting even worse. According to news reports coming out of the Maldives, the government has just passed a new law outlining the right to informed consent. The law makes it illegal for parents to choose not to vaccinate their children according to the will of bureaucrats. So there you go, all coming through the United Nations, putting their fingers into your lives and telling you what you can and can't do with your life and your children. And of course, in California, people are being arrested. We're having it in Australia and, of course, where you are. Is it getting serious in Canada for this attack on your health? Are you seeing an attack all round? I'm seeing it here all round, not just on chiropractors, as I said before, like, you know, natural medicine, herbs, even health food stores and all of this stuff. I'm wondering where it's going to go. Or do you have a bit more freedom and room to move over there?
Well, we did, Adam, but just recently with these bills in the last year, these bills proposed to remove non-medical exemptions. You know, they started in BC, which is, you know, British Columbia on one end of the country, and then they started in New Brunswick, which is kind of on the other end of the country. So it was similar to what they did in the States, right? They had that measles outbreak in California in, I don't know, 2014-15. And then they went to New York City. So it's like they take the coast first. It's again like a military strategy, right? Take the coast and move inwards.
Yeah.
So they did a, you know, the similar thing here in Canada. So there is a group, it's called the Vaccine Choice Canada. So if anyone's listening from Canada, I'd highly encourage this website, Vaccine Choice Canada. And they're a group that was put together, a resource group, by parents of vaccine-injured children. So what they are doing as a group is challenging the Canadian Constitution around this freedom, really freedom to choose, right, and informed consent. So there is a constitutional challenge. They've hired the best constitutional lawyer in Canada, and he seems pretty certain that they're going to be able to legislate something like this. You know, he says that the Canadian Constitution is somehow wound into international treaties that allows for informed choice and medical freedom. So we're encouraged, you know, even though these bills have came up and came forward, it's almost like it's bought what has been, you know, a 100-year-old infection that we couldn't see to the surface, and now we're able to deal with it with this legal challenge. So informed consent is a big issue with regulated healthcare practitioners too, because if these mandatory bills were to pass, it's really in conflict to our informed consent legal, moral, ethical responsibility to our patients. So with informed consent, it allows us to give patients both the benefits and the risks. So, you know, any regulatory profession, whether you're a doctor, nurse, chiropractor, anyone that has a regulatory hat, we have to give patients, again, like I said, the benefits, the risks, offer any options, alternatives, and give the patient choice. Each case has to be looked at individually. So you can't really mandate a policy that comes with risk legally if you're attending to kind of our, you know, moral, ethical responsibilities as a regulatory healthcare provider. So I think those legalities will be bought up in this constitutional challenge that we're encouraged about here in Canada. And the bills have been proposed in this end of the country, Nova Scotia and New Brunswick, but they haven't passed yet. So it's given us an opportunity to, I guess, advocate and influence the legislative process and speaking to MLAs, connecting with the public, writing articles. So I feel like in the world, actually, we're reaching a tipping point where alternative media, more people are listening into alternative media, and it's really showing up what the mainstream lies are. So it's I think we're headed for a shift, a big shift. I think that old system has to crumble, and right now it looks pretty messy, but I think if we can hold on through it, we're going to come out in a better place on the other side.
Yeah, it's amazing. I just was talking recently about what happened in Chile, in South America, and the people uprising. There was 1 million people on the streets of Santiago down in Chile. Beautiful country. They've just had enough of being treated that way by this terrible government. This guy is a real joke. They've been through dark times there. And I hope they get results. Men, women, children, everybody on the streets. Some bad things happened there. There was some violence and things, but most people just want change. And they are sick of it. And it shows you what they can do. And I was reading reports how big media stations in Chile were lying through their, you know, nightly news about what was happening there. They were lying about the protesters, and the protesters were actually storming the TV stations, and they had to get the military there to surround it because they were trying to get in and take charge, you know, and it shows you how desperate people are getting. We're seeing in Hong Kong and many other places. I think in Canada and Australia, we're quite... I don't know. We kind of sit on our hands a lot, and I don't know. People aren't taking it seriously enough because this affects everybody, you know. And it really angers me because the media here have just done nothing but lie and lie and lie and lie through their teeth. And I look at them and they just don't seem to even care. They don't even have any care about what they're lying about, you know. And they don't even seem to, I don't know, they almost seem sociopathic to me. Some of them have been very narcissistic in their manner and everything. And I just, I read some of their articles. I don't know if I can send you some there about... that people who don't vaccinate are baby killers. These were game changers a few years ago, that we were terrorists, that you need to have your children taken. So there's been reported cases, I think in the US, about medical kidnapping, just because parents have turned down pharmaceutical products containing aluminum in the vitamin K shot, for example. No thanks, I don't want the hepatitis B vaccine, and they've taken their kids. So it's unbelievable that the media would be supporting this. The media, in my view, are supposed to be on the people's side and reporting for the people, but it's anything but. And mm-hmm. as you said, they don't report on the truth, they hide it. And they get up there every day on these breakfast shows, morning shows, nightly chat shows. They're like a bunch of hyenas up there. And they cackle away and they laugh and they make all these jokes. They think everything's funny and they just have this all-out assault. That parents who don't want to vaccinate their children's potentially, you know, brain damage their child or even kill their own children through these pharmaceutical drugs that are not safe, that are not effective, that have not been tested, you know, because they care about their kids so much. And a lot of anti-vaxxers in the health freedom movement, that's what I call it, they're actually mums and dads who are looking after vaccine-injured children. or they've been vaccine injured themselves, for example, and they want choice and they want transparency, and they, and some parents, like in Australia, if you do take your little one down, there's a lot at play here. Ultrasound's another issue. Damage in utero, that's a whole nother thing that we do go over. But if you do take your little one down, if your little one gets a vitamin K shot or a hepatitis B shot at birth, just for example, or whatever it may be, and they cop an injury, whatever injury, there's so many, it just could be anything, this adverse events that happen, seizures or whatever it may be, or a serious adverse reaction, you don't have anyone here. And all these, I keep saying it, Dana, over and over, all these people that push vaccines onto you and your family, all of them, they won't be there when your child cops an injury. They won't be at the bedside with you and your family helping you through that situation in your life. And then when you come out and you connect with other people on social media like Facebook, and you go into the groups and you talk with other mums who have vaccine injured children, these people who pushed you into vaccinating your child will come on top and harass you, you know, because these are the trolls as well. Mm-hmm. So it's an unbelievable situation, but people don't care anymore, and they're in there, and they're going forward. And a few years ago, there wasn't a lot of people doing this, and now there is, and it's just bursting out of every orifice here in Australia, and we're linking up with big sites in US and Canada and everywhere on the social media networks. It's really amazing, and people are just continuing to talk and connect with one another and get this information out to people who want it, who didn't have it before. So it's a very important thing indeed. And as I mentioned in California before, it's really amazing to see what's happening there, because California's a place in the world, a state where they don't seem to be backing off, and they got this lunatic Richard Pan running around. The guy is so compromised, it's ridiculous. I mean, this guy is so embedded in with these big pharmaceutical buddies. I mean, everyone can see it. It's so corrupt and criminal and unfair and unjust what's happening there. But it's getting to flashpoint in California. There's what's happening over there, and they just keep overreaching with these bills. The new one, SB 714-27-11, they approve it in their fake assemblies, you see, and they bring in more restrictions in that country. And I was worried what's going to happen in Australia unless we get a change of government, but it just continues. How far, Dana, we think they're going to go? Are they going to take it all the way to the end here, or is someone going to back off? I don't know what you're seeing.
I don't think they're going to back off. I mean, they're getting big payouts by the pharmaceutical companies. But I think, again, we're reaching a critical mass where the informed parent, a group, is growing. And the more ludicrous and the crazy, taking babies because the parents have refused a vitamin K shot, you know, more and more parents will litigate this. And I had a jurisprudence professor once, and he said, Dina, media is just media. It's neither good nor bad. Just make sure they spell your name right. You know, it's bringing awareness to the problem. So that's even right. All those articles, right, that CBC wrote about me, it may have, in someone's mind, just created a question. And I think this is the biggest thing right now, is that they pit us against each other, right? Vax and anti-vax. So they're creating this duality that sort of feeds that polarity. I just did a Facebook video recently, and what I was suggesting is, in order to reach those parents who aren't sure or have committed to vaccines, is really just a simple invitation for them to investigate. Instead of pushing my views on, you know, vaccines causing cancers, there's no safety studies, the challenges with the heavy metals and seizures and the autism rate increasing, sometimes that's too much for people to handle, right? It creates that cognitive dissonance where their brain just can't handle that paradigm that's so different from what they've believed their whole life. But I think if you can create a question in their mind that they then can go find the answers themselves, it brings the two parties and the two poles together, because we're both investigating. So this is the biggest, this is where I think we should put our efforts. Instead of saying the science. I mean, whatever those examples are in our history, it's where the science wasn't settled, where the white coats, right, that have all this responsibility and authority have got it wrong before. So I give the example of, you know, my baby boots were really rigid, but now baby boots are supposed to be more flexible so we can, you know, feel the ground and assess our proprioception. We first thought babies should sleep on their stomachs to prevent SIDS. And now what we're seeing is, since we started that back-to-back campaign, the scoliosis in kids have increased and SIDS seems to correlate with the 2, 4, and 6 month vaccines. So things change. And we just need to make sure that our education and our quest for knowledge also changes. So I think empowering parents, it's where it is. Because, you know, fighting with government, what I've learned is sending letters to MLAs, members of Legislative Assembly. You know, I sent, I don't know, 4 emails to 49 different MLAs in New Brunswick. And then there's another 50 MLAs here in Nova Scotia that I've all connected with. But unless you're one of their voters, or unless it's going to affect their bottom line, your email just gets filed, right? The power is in educating the masses, in educating one-to-one parents, parent groups, mothering groups, like what we're doing now in alternative media, empowering kind of our grassroots level. And I think it's going to be an avalanche that happens from there, from the masses, that filters to the top. Because ultimately, our demand for vaccines is what is, you know, having that supply, whether it's genetically modified foods or vaccines or whatever it is at the top, or smart meters and smart technologies. So if we educate to change, like what we did in the gluten whole movement, right, or the milk movement, where you educate the population, then the industrial complex has to dance to the tune that, you know, what the has to supply what the demand is. So I think the solution is really just to keep on what we're doing, is educating parents to ask the right questions and to discover the answers for themselves, instead of telling them what they need to know,
right.
Invite them into the conversation.
Interesting now how, well, the big fires in Australia and all the climate change hysteria is directing people's attention away again from the rollout of 5G technology, because one big telco in Australia, TPG, a big telco in Australia, has pulled out of their implementation of 5G due to safety concerns and a backlash from customers saying they'll just move to another company if they do it. So they haven't gone ahead with their 5G rollout. Only the couple of big telcos are doing in Australia, but now we have all the fires and Greta Thunberg getting all the schoolgirls up in arms, screaming about something they don't understand and screaming about climate change. You know, it's so ridiculous. Some of them are saying here in Australia that some of these fires in Sydney or around were deliberately lit, but the Greenies are saying it's climate change. Yeah, so it's but you know, it takes people. Well, it takes people's attention off this rollout, which is going on now, and they really need to get this in. This is a big part of their plan, and people are starting to get information. There's huge groups on Facebook just for my area, Stop 5G Here, and all around. They're linking up everywhere, and people are going, what? 5G? What's this? I've asked people. They don't even know what it is, and they're reading this material and thinking, this is not safe for my kids. The schools are looking in on Wi-Fi. Parents are thinking, look, you know, 4G is enough, you know, 3G is enough. We don't need to keep going. What are we, you know, we're going to have 6G where you answer your mobile phone and your head blows off, you know. It's absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, people do not need to download rubbish faster. You know, their kids need to be outdoors. Their kids need to be going through studying in a proper manner in school and going through to university and picking a career. They don't need to get access to Netflix and all this stuff faster on their mobile mobile devices. They need to be outside in the fresh air. And I think parents are seeing this now, that we don't need this fast technology being rammed down our throats, because there isn't any studies and research there confirming, like vaccines, that this stuff's safe. So, you know, we're seeing that as well. So we're getting, as you said, a lot of information out there, which is fantastic, and people are reading it. It takes 2 seconds to click on a post that you put out, and or a website. That's why I wanted to do this, get a website, because it's such a powerful tool as you build over the years and make it look really nice, so mm-hmm. people can go on there and get all the information that they need to combat mainstream media as best we can, because they're losing ground every day.
And Adam, I think that's a great point. You know, once you see the paradigm as it plays out in one area, like the vaccines, right? 1986, Ronald Reagan passed a law to absolve vaccination companies of any liability in death and disease. And then we had, what was next? Monsanto, the Monsanto Act that was passed in, I think, 2013 by Obama, that absolved the genetically modified food companies of any liability. Then we have the Telecom Act, and that was passed in Canada, 1996, that absolved cellular companies of any liability. You know, once you see one paradigm and see how that the industrial complex, military industrial complex really played out, then you can understand different paradigms and you can start to question it. So it's, I think, again, we have to kind of reach that critical mass where people are injured, and it's pain that often pushes people to change their paradigm. You know, you mentioned about the 5G technology. I mean, the second, third, fourth generation technology, we've seen an increase in brain cancer, where it's now the number one disease in children that are 15 to 19 years old. I just posted an article on Facebook where the average age for childhood cancer is 6 years old after kids have had 50 doses of vaccines. So it's unfortunate that we have to see this pain, especially, you know, in our vulnerable next generation. But I think ultimately that's really what's going to shift the paradigm when parents wake up and say, why has cancer in kids increased in the last, you know, 15 years, and that the pain and disability, and why then they can't litigate, you know, because these companies knew that it was dangerous, which is why they put these laws in place to protect themselves. So then you see the corruption in the government, that they're bought out to protect the company instead of protecting the people and the kids. So once you understand one paradigm, I think it will spill out and spill over, and we'll understand. And I think it was Gandhi who said, what was that quote? I think I have it here somewhere. Civil disobedience becomes a sacred duty when the state becomes lawless or corrupt. So once you see the corruption, it kind of gives you permission to disobey, right?
It's like Rome, isn't it?
And I think that's where we're headed.
As it got so corrupt, you know, they made the sporting events more violent and bigger, and you know, that's what happens in modern society. You know, the entertainment is getting so overwhelming, especially for kids, and the sporting events, it's just like an overdose on this stuff to keep constantly distracting the people's attention away from the burning that's taking place, the rotting corruption within their own systems and government, you know. And it doesn't take a lot to take it back and do something. But we make change. We show up everywhere. I was just looking at autism information in Australia, and just a couple down is a Dr. Judy Weilerman report. So, and then you've got all the mainstream media. So we get our information out there on websites and posts, and just get it into the system, leaking out. So if they want to try and censor that, well, go ahead. We just keep going. They take me off Facebook. I just go somewhere else. You just keep going, keep moving, you know, as well. That's what we've got to do. But it's a slow creeping problem that we have in Australia and all over the world. And I don't think parents are seeing the autism issue serious enough, just from mainstream media. I got one here from Perth in Western Australia. More than 3,000 students with autism enrolled in Western Australian public schools. So they're enrolling them there, and the teachers are struggling with a skyrocketing number of students with autism. Well, they're looking after 30 other students. And another one came here from the Sydney Morning Herald on November the 15th. And it's talking here more than 600 kindergarten students were suspended from New South Wales primary schools last year, raising concerns small children are being sent home as punishment for undiagnosed disorders like autism. I'm seeing teachers and federations in Queensland coming out saying they can't handle the amount of autistic children being lumped into the public schools because the teachers don't have the tools to look after them. We have new autism schools opening up in Australia. There's a couple of new ones just for autistic kids. This is not something that we've seen in this country before, but it's starting to become overwhelming indeed. And nobody seems to be questioning this, but I think they're going to have to soon. Because in a country like Australia, with not a huge population, we're seeing this overwhelming, skyrocketing amount of young children being diagnosed with autism and ADHD, for example, and the education department coming out saying we can't handle them, and all these problems happening. Well, we've got to ask ourselves, well, what's going on here? Why are these children suddenly becoming autistic? And so a critical point we're reaching where people need to start asking questions here, and I think they are. As I said, I haven't seen it a few years ago. You didn't see a lot of parents questioning, and now they are. And I've spoken to a homeopath that we go to, and they said they're getting a lot of broken families in even, that it's very hard where the mother they want to do homeoprophylaxis for their little one, but the father or that side of the family doesn't, and it's splitting families, and the papers are fueling that fire with their lies, and it's making people panic because they're reading this information, but they're not reading between the lines, you know? It was like you're being told what to think. You're not critically thinking for yourself. The newspapers are telling you what to think. They're implanting those seeds in you through their headlines and everything, but if you just stop and look at what they're saying and do your own research, it becomes quite clear that there's a lot more to this. So with you, for example, we've got a few minutes left in the podcast, but it's so interesting with a profession like yours, you know, as you were a chiropractor, you have a duty, a moral duty, which you have in your profession to people. I mean, if you know something isn't safe or that the research isn't there, it's your obligation as a medical health professional to say something. So it's a terrible situation we have where they're just being gagged now. In all sorts of medical professionals are being gagged with patients who might ask them questions about vaccines and their little ones. Hey, I'm at the chiropractor today. What do you think about this vaccine? Is it safe to get this? What's your opinion on that? They're just gagged. They've got tape around their mouth, duct tape around their mouth. They can't say anything. But what do you do in that situation as a chiropractor if a patient asks you a question like that? You know, but it's your obligation, isn't it, to at least point them to a website or point them in a direction where they can get some information to make up their own mind, because it's such a critical thing, and you can't now.
Well, I would suggest a few different websites. You know, Vaccine Choice Canada is a great one. It's put together by parents, like I said, of vaccine injured children. The learntherisk.org is a great website. The Children's Health Defense with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and the I Can Decide with Del Bigtree. I mean, they're just great information.
You couldn't tell
websites,
patients that, could you? If you were still
for vaccines.
If you were still so operating as a chiropractor, you couldn't even direct them to a website.
No, I couldn't.
Mm.
That's right. I was having to bring them to public health, which again doesn't have any updated information for 100 years, and all their research really comes from the pharmaceutical companies that are pushing the vaccines. I mean, the other thing that we didn't touch on, the CDC, Center of Disease Control and Prevention, you know, is a vaccine company. They buy, you know, $4 billion worth of vaccines a year. So it's really public health against you know, profit, and they're really a severe conflict of interest. But I think, Adam, you know, more people have to speak out. And at the end of the day, you have to be able to live with yourself. And I'd seen damage done to kids with vaccines in my practice. And I just got to the point of thinking, maybe if I had have suggested something, or if I could have given them some information. I mean, ultimately, even 5 years ago, we were still encouraged to give people informed consent. So to share with patients information on the neurotoxic effects of fluoride, for example, to share the dangers of smoking, to talk about chemicals in the environment.
That's
so
right,
why was vaccines in a special category, right? As a holistic health provider, we're expected to share information on environmental toxins. So why is the ban only on vaccines? It's because that's where they make the most money. You know, it's like the tobacco industry. It took a while to kind of break through that old paradigm. But again, I think for me, it almost feels like some sort of a spiritual mission that I think if enough of us can speak out and step out of the paradigm and just tell the truth, it will create a greater movement and validate the stories of parents that have vaccine injured children and validate the science. Right now, by staying silent, you may as well be doing the injection yourself. You know, you're contributing to the problem. And, you know, the first people out of the gate always get the most arrows. You know, once you pave the path,
yeah, that's right.
More
so many
will
cases
follow.
To Dana that I've saved over the years from Australia. There was Lindsay Day, 39-year-old man. I don't know if you heard of that. It's all up on my website anyway. I've got a section there, category on all this, but he was a Sydney man who died suddenly after a flu shot, and so the family were threatening legal action there. So Lindsay was from Glenmore Park in Sydney. He was perfectly fit, according to his partner, very healthy, and he received the vaccines, flu shot, and for pertussis, I think, to see a relative's baby or something in the hospital, to his stepdaughter's baby. Preparation for the birth of his stepdaughter's baby, relative told Nine News. So he got those shots and started to feel like he got like flu symptoms and got kind of worse and worse after getting that shot. So completely sick, a very fit man. You can see the picture out on his boat here. He just felt really unwell, and then he went into the doctor. They gave him tablets and stuff to treat the flu and all of this. So I guess antibiotics, which would have worsened it. And he deteriorated rapidly over about 24 to 48 hours. He woke up to go to work and started the car engine and then just basically collapsed and said he was just too sick. So he started having seizures after that and stopped breathing. His partner, who was a registered nurse, performed CPR on him, and they called the ambulance and they took him to the hospital near Nepean Hospital, and he didn't regain consciousness and was declared brain dead the next day. And what's incredible about this case is that the devastated family just who were in there at this time in the hospital after he had died, the doctors pulled the family members aside and they said, look, off the record, it's very clear what has happened, but you are never going to get anyone to admit it. And this is a direct quote from what happened, and in the national newspapers, they couldn't hide this one. So there you go, healthy man who went in for a flu shot, and that's happened to him. And this is another direct case here that these things are not safe, that it really is Russian roulette. You do not know how people are going to react to them, especially children. You do not know what is going to happen with anybody who receives this. And this absolutely is a clear in-your-face indication that flu shots are not safe. And when something's not safe, you need a choice. You can't just go in and blindly just take what the doctor says and get your child done or yourself done. You need a choice here, and we're losing that. So really important situation that we have here, that people ask critical questions and they have access to information and they can make up their own minds and not be bullied and intimidated into doing these medical procedures, which I said are unsafe.
Well, and you just, in quoting, you know, that story, I think this is where the power in the movement and the shift is happening, is the power in the stories. So the parents have to speak out who've had vaccine-injured children. Politicians have to speak out. The doctors have to speak. We have to be sharing the stories, because right now the pharmaceutical complex has set up more fear of not having the vaccine. So in order to shift the paradigm, we have to show as much fear for having the vaccine. Now, you mentioned that flu vaccine. Robert F. Kennedy, who studied mercury, has the Mercury Project his whole life, you know, looking at mercury and the environment and how these big corporations and companies can pollute the environment with mercury. He got interested in vaccines. You probably know that story, right, through a family member that asked him to look into it. And he said, in the flu shot, in a vial of flu shot, there's 250 times more mercury than what the environment allows. So if you drop a vial of that flu shot in the doctor's mm-hmm. office, you have to call the biochemical hazmat team to come pick it up. I mean, if parents knew just that one fact, okay, right? All that mercury is being injected into pregnant mothers and babies. Maybe I should look into it a little bit more. So I think, again, the stories of the injured are going to drive parents to investigate more and to empower themselves instead of, you know, listening to the to these white coats that have no more information really on some of the side effects than you do. I mean, our medical doctors are educated by the pharmaceutical companies. So as I challenged my medical doctor to help me debate the information, she admitted that she didn't know any of the any of the alternative science. She only knew what the vaccine companies had taught her. And for parents, I think, you know, this is what I hear in my circles in speaking with parents. It's like, well, I'm not a scientist. I don't know how to read the study. Anyone can read a vaccine insert. You go to the pharmacy and get a medication, there's a list of side effects. There should be the same with vaccines. Parents should just need to know what ingredients, what's in that needle that they're putting into their kids. So the more stories, the more we can share those sad stories. And that's why I think the movie Vax 2 that just came out, I haven't had an opportunity to see it yet, but I'm hoping to have a viewing here in Nova Scotia. But it's all about stories. It's about parents. And I think that is really what's going to shift the paradigm. It's just right. Parents sharing with other parents.
Yeah. Interesting times. It was so interesting when that film came here anyway, all the drama and how it was they tried to stop it. And then it just kind of rolled on. So it's happened around the world. So stopping people from seeing a movie was really incredible. Threatening people, actually. Threatening cinemas and places for viewing it. So they had to hide it. Unbelievable. And people should have a right to go and see a movie as well, especially a documentary. Documentaries, that's what they do. They get people talking, arguing. They incite debate, whether you believe or you don't. That's a good documentary will always do that. And everybody deserves to see it. So I hope it keeps rolling out. I'm all for independent documentaries. I think even if you're, absolutely 100% for vaccines or a doctor yourself, you should go along and see these films just to get that different opinion and then discuss it with your family. It's all about talking and having that open discussion, not scaring the hell out of everybody and just shutting everybody up. It's absolutely ridiculous. Probably half of Australia, Dana, just use supplements, chiropractic therapies and, things like naturopaths and homeopathy and all these kind of alternative therapies or whatever it may be is very popular here, and I'm sure it is in Canada. A lot of families use it and have access to it, and we don't want to lose that or our ability to have a right to choose that if we want to, it's ultimately up to parents, and you can't go in and take that right away from people, and threaten them this way. I actually do feel sorry for you for chiropractors, and I feel sorry for doctors and people who don't like what they're seeing here, and they're worried about saying anything because they lose their livelihood. And that's a really terrible thing that's happened. And we hope we can break this down and make the system more fairer as we move forward. I know you want to see that as well. So it's you're in a great position to do that now.
Yeah, for sure. And we have to kind of move out of that fear paradigm. Because fear holds us captive, and it's really informed consent and protecting our next generation. I mean, that's a loving foundation that I think gives us, power and strength. But you'd mentioned about holistic medicine. I mean, Hippocrates, the father of medicine, it was based on plants and natural environment. In fact, nutrition and homeopathy were a part of our traditional medical schools. It wasn't until the early 1900s, the Flexner Report, when these powerful men came in and influenced via setting up, pharmaceutical representatives on these school boards and donating to medical schools, that nutrition, right, got moved out of that, our traditional medical healing system. So, really we're just going back to our foundation and roots and trying to bypass these. I think there's a Freemasonry network. I mean, because the same guys that are the largest investors in vaccines are the same guys that are pumping chemicals into the air and doing experiments with trying to block our sun. And it has to be a network where those small group of men at the top have kind of a control on the web that lies underneath. So I think we just have to crawl our way to the top of the money chain and see who's really making these crazy decisions for our humanity.
And medicine and universities, that was an incredible, if people could look that up, too much to go into, but amazing.
It's
incredible
Flexner
how they monopolized and what they did to medicine. And when you think some of the earliest ever recorded human written texts are about herbs and plants and barks and stuff like that, when you look at the native peoples and Native American Indians, and you look at the Amazon and the tribes and the medicine men in Ecuador and the knowledge passed down about the plants and stuff around them and how old this is. I mean, since recorded time, we've had these incredible natural healing remedies there since the dawn of time, really. And then we're told that that's alternative medicine. Well, it isn't. It's the real medicine. That's what it is. The modern day doctors and their medicine and all their drugs, that's alternative medicine to me. Alternative medicine, what they say that we use, that's the real medicine. And it always will be. And they can't get rid of it. That's right.
I mean, a lot of the pharmaceuticals are based on plants or plant structure. But with the plant structure, you have a kind of a homeostatic effect where it can raise or lower depending on what your body needs. It works like neurotransmitters and hormones, just as these oils and plant nutrition can heal the plant, it can heal you. But what happens when they twist it and make it into a pharmaceutical drug that is so specific for one thing, you're creating all these side effects.
They have.
So they've really bastardized our healing system by monetizing it into something that is really
them,
not
they?
Useful
they go
for
in
our
and they,
generation.
They break these plants down in their laboratories and they try and work out what part of the plant might be doing the healing, and they try to form these drugs so it can smother symptoms but not cure. Or help to cure people, so they don't have to take the the medicines again. You know, they might use them for a certain period and then be okay, or use them very rarely, but they really want you to smother those symptoms, so you just become a cash cow, a customer to them for the rest of your life. And they take some plants that are just too complex to break down, like cannabis, for example, and then they'll just put a smear campaign about that plant, and put it out there in the world, you know. But that they do that, yeah, they do. It's incredible.
But here's what they've done in Canada. They've legalized cannabis, right? But what's happened, they've legalized it so the government can make money on it, so it can be taxed. So if they can't copy it, they want to own it. So right now they're putting the little, you know, marijuana growers out of business. And Justin Trudeau, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, said, no, the reason for legalizing marijuana is to take the money out of the drug dealer's hands. And put it into the larger drug dealer hands. It's the bottom line, right? And then the cannabis that they're selling, you know, at our liquor store is pesticide laden. Monsanto has owned these big cannabis grows. So they're feeding us. It's just another way, really, of getting the chemicals into us, you know, these glyphosate and the chemicals they use in genetic modification, just through now the cannabis, you know, a sacred healing plant. Once again, they've just laden it with so much stuff and charged us for it. Now there's a tax, right? Because you have to go to the liquor store and buy it. So it's a scam. So when they can't copy something in nature, they want to own it. That's why they're taking, you know, supplements and trying to, we had, natural progesterone cream used to be something that we could just buy over the counter. And now they've taken it off the market in Canada over the last 10 years because it didn't have a drug identification number. Not because it was safe or it wasn't effective. It was because the government couldn't make money on it. So it's, it's all over. But again, all this is just educating and giving more power to the people. Ultimately, there's going to be a reform.
The court system for growing their own cannabis at home and making their oil because they're looking after sick people or they're sick themselves. And then pounding their chest about how they've legalized marijuana. But it's like a simple bottle of water, you know. You get a bottle of water and you're drinking it and you turn it over and you look at the fine print and it's owned by Coca-Cola. So people will be surprised at who owns what, you know. So you never, nothing's what it seems with these people. They're in it to make money and they're just so greedy, as well. I do not really align myself with your prime minister at all. Not someone I support. I hope you guys can make a change there and get. I don't know. It's like a wrestling match, isn't it, Dana? It's like a. They're all like actors coming in and playing the game, distracting the public away. And we go and vote, and we have all these prime ministers and presidents and politicians and who take up and absorb all of our time. But really, you know, the work that they're doing gets done anyway, regardless of who's in. So it's a hard one, that indeed. But you guys, hopefully you can see some changes over there. We'll plug out now. What's on your horizon in regards to your work that you're doing now, and how can people and women in particular, say, who hear this in Australia, contact you, and what are you going to do moving forward now? Are you doing some tours and talks or books or things like that?
Well, I think it's my voice and my opinions that have got me in this situation. So I'm just going to continue with that. And hopefully there'll be speaking opportunities. And I'm writing a memoir right now called The Truth is Priceless. And I think perhaps using my voice to help educate and empower. I think these are the foundations of any sort of activist in a community, is to educate and then litigate and legislate. So in appealing to MLAs and you know, members of Legislative Assembly, presenting to legislators, emailing corporations like Nova Scotia Power, Halifax Water, people that are trying to upgrade our smart meters, doing YouTube videos, writing. I think that is really what my service is. And my blog, healthtruth.blog, I've just written, my latest article is about mandates and how really it's a fear, and how, you know, industry is using that fear to accomplish a certain agenda. So that would be where I would direct people, is first to that healthtruth.blog, and you can connect with me through that. Or I have a YouTube channel with some videos on lots of different things, not just vaccines, but sleep, for example, because all this is pretty stressful, right, for the population in learning this information for the first time. So I think protecting ourselves and ways to stay healthy through this sea of emotion and what feels like a war on our next generation is important. So how to sort of survive and thrive are videos that you'd find on my YouTube channel. But I think I'm just going to keep doing what I've been doing, speaking, because I think my example is powerful for people to see just how captive our medical profession is. Parents wait for our medical doctors to say this is not safe. They will never tell you that, or they will lose their license. So my example, I think, will serve on that platform, and I need to share it. You know, just as I'm recommending parents speak up about their situation and their injuries, that's my lesson, to speak out, educate,
that's right,
litigate.
Yeah. It's legislate. Amazing how in life, you know, you may be, you know, there seems to be like a million different highways that you could go down. It's amazing in life sometimes when you might be doing a job or going along a path that isn't really making you happy, and you're sort of wondering what it is, what you're here for. You know, we're all here for a reason, and we just have to find that. But you're like, well, what am I meant to do? There's something there that I'm meant to be doing, and that's why I'm here in this earth realm, in this lifetime, you know. And I feel like, and sometimes you'll get like a nudge, or sometimes something will happen that may first appear to be a negative bad thing, but it was actually needed, or it was something that happened to you in a good way. And and looking at you, that seems to have happened. You've been going along this path, and then you've been nudged over to where you are now. And now, do you feel more aligned now with where you're meant to be? Is this, do you feel like this is what you're meant to be doing finally? That what happened to you is a negative thing, I know, you know, with your job and everything, but it seems like you've connected more now.
Well, you know, Adam, I wouldn't call
butt.
It a nudge. I'd call it kind of a severe kick. It really was a kick in the ass, yeah. But I really had to go through that to realize, you know, again, like I said, it takes a lot
That's
of pain
right. you just said
for
it.
You
That's
to
it.
Attach to your purpose
yeah.
and inspiration. Yeah, so I had to, you know, I had to sell my house. Really, I lost everything, my resources in trying to litigate this let's say suggestion that came down from the health department. And then I had to sell my house, our family home, for 22 years. I gave away my practice because I couldn't sell my practice. So literally it wiped out everything, all my connection to the identity that I was living in for, you know, 20 years. So as a health person in the community, as a chiropractor, doctor, you know, even my kids at that point, you know, moved in with their dad. So suddenly I didn't have my family around. So it really took out my whole foundation. But when that happens, it liberates you at the same time. You know, if you live and survive the process, more will follow and you grow. So that's where I feel like I am now. You know, it feels like some sort of a spiritual mission that I just needed that, you know, kick in the bum to kind of get moving and use my voice to adjust
spark,
instead of my hands.
As a motivational speaker, and it's all there, definitely. I could immediately tell you're one of those folks who can make a huge difference. That's amazing. That's a heavy deal, man. It really is. That's unbelievable. But it seems like you're going okay now and going forward. So that's fantastic. We'll hopefully connect again, keep connected with you as you move forward, and to log in with you and find out the latest and what's happening in your part of the world and what you're doing. I feel like you're going to be, maybe we can hopefully see you get into the mainstream media. See you on some... yeah, no, you're going for the throat.
I just have to change my MO.
A clear direction there, and I this is really exciting. I will put all the information up in regards to your work and links and where people can contact you and your YouTube channel and stuff like that. Anything you want to finish on before we go?
I just want to thank you for everything you're doing, because it's the alternative media really is how we get our message out. So if I'm speaking but there's no one listening, it's, you know, we're all working as a team. So I so appreciate you having me here and for all the work you're doing in exposing, you know, the dark truths of our world. I'd encourage listeners to, again, check out healthtruth.blog, but also Vaccine Choice Canada, because that will give you the update on what's happening in our legislation on a national basis. And I think what happens in Canada, if we can, you know, challenge this paradigm successfully here, it sort of sets a precedence for what might happen in the rest of the world. So I think it's helpful to sort of follow along. So again, I just appreciate the opportunity, I'd love to come on the show anytime.
Those specific links, just on Skype or social media, that's fine. So I have them. I don't think I have a couple of those you mentioned, but send those through. And good luck. Continue forward. Yeah, we do it without fear. It can be a lonely kind of ride doing this kind of thing. And but it did get me down a few years back. I started to get down with what I was reading, especially looking at children and our health and things and stuff that's happening. It drags you down. And you don't want that. So I try to have space where I can regenerate the batteries, you know, and continue with who I am, but continue doing this. And I've found a way to sort of keep moving forward and try to keep positive. And I think that's what we've got to do, because I think we have to face darkness as well, don't we? We have to face negative things. Otherwise, we can't fix them. So we have to face them and then critically think about them and work them out, so we can share the information and find a way through all of this, these dark times. And hopefully there's better times ahead. I think there is. And so we'll continue to move forward and of course, link up with our websites and social media. You're doing great over on social media. You have a big following and a lot of shares and people contacting you over there. So great work. And we'll chat again soon.
I just have one other thing, Adam, before we close out. I think the important thing, because I too, you know, have had a challenging year, and you can really get depressed easily when you're hearing all this dark information. But attaching to a higher power, whatever that is, some sort of unconditional love, God, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, Elvis, I mean, whatever it is that gives you that feeling of unconditional love, to see the universe as a loving place, because ultimately it's our thoughts that creates our reality. So if we're always looking at the dark side and the corruption and Bill Gates's YouTube video talking about depopulation, like, it can really drag you down. So if you can shift, you know, I like romantic comedies or meditating on the beach with my dog or spending time with kids and family. You have to have that balance in your perception, and then striving above all this emotion into connecting with a higher source that ultimately kind of feeds you. Otherwise, you can, again, like, deplete yourself. So that's something that's been beneficial to me, and
right.
It might be beneficial to someone who's listening.
You do
listening.
A lot of work, too, you know, updating websites and being online. You know, I don't like being on the computer too much. It hurts my eyes, and I like to, you know, to try and do things quickly and in a positive way. Yeah, but stay connected with the true self, and continue forward in a positive way. And sometimes you need a little bit of a break, I find I'm going okay now, as are you. So we will go forward. Yeah, that's right. That's all we can do. Yeah, you're actually connected with Donna very closely.
Feed each other.
Donna was supposed to be on with me this week, but she's had to flee where she lives because of the fires up there. And she seems okay. Hopefully she can return home and connect with me next week to give us an update on what's happening in that area with the terrible fires and the loss of property and not a good situation. But she's amazing too. Pretty strong lady like yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, and I would just like to say a shout out to Donna, because it was through her that we connected, and it was Donna that had the Vaxxed One movie come to Australia. So she's a real power source. And now with these directed energy weapon fires that they're creating in Australia and Africa and all over the place, all over the world, again, I think this is the corruption coming to the surface, and we're all having to go through that. So I just like to say a thank you to Donna, and also sending my love and prayers to her right now, where she's trying to
absolutely
avoid the flames and, there in
okay,
her part
you
of
take
Australia.
Care, and we'll chat again soon. Thanks a lot. Okay.
Pleasure. Thank you, Adam. Have a good evening.